breathe, that's number one. Number two, I drink water. I love water. Number three, I like food. Three natural drives. Number four, I like the right temperature. When it's hot, I want it cool. When it's cool, I want it hot. Don't you? Praise the Lord. I like security. Don't you like that? I'm afraid of high places. I get up there somewhere, I can't hardly hang on to nothing. I like security. That's a natural instinct. These things are instinctive. There's one more there I missed somehow or another. But the seventh drive is a sex drive. That's for procreation. To reproduce the species of which we are a member of a particular family. They call it the animal kingdom. I don't think we're an animal. I'm not. I think animals ought to be put in jail or executed. I think when you serve God, you're not an animal. Might be animals out here. But in 1963, I had to start sleeping in a bedroom by myself, or I could not hear from God. Go ahead and sleep with your wife. I don't care. That's legal, right? But you ain't going to hear from God in there feeling with your wife, her feeling of you, and smooching up and listening to her and all of that. You ain't going to hear from God. You're going to hear from God when you're alone. And that means you're quietly alone. Not you in there boiling, your old sex drive running you crazy, and hunger drive when you're fasting running you crazy, and you're dying for something when God told you to fast and get by yourself running you crazy. I don't even like to be compared with. I ain't never seen very many preachers I wanted to be compared with, because I've had to sacrifice and deny myself and put up with things that I know other preachers don't put up with. I've been abused and knocked down and bones broken in my body. Like old Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus for being bold and standing up when God pushed me out there and said, come on, stand up for me. It was either do it or run. Boy, God didn't get no coward when he got me. I never had sense enough to run. I'm not scared. I am not scared. I'm cautious sometimes. I use prudence, but I'm not scared. That's the kind of man God has to call to be a prophet. These jackals and foxes running up and down this country saying they're prophets or prophetess. I am getting letters from women saying they're apostles. Oh, baloney, such a mess. I know who's going to win. I know we're going to win. I know this message is going to prevail. Right. I know it's from God. I've tested it for 40 years. Thank you. Praise God. God, have mercy sakes. Get around preachers and they talk about their exploits. Paul said, I don't talk about my exploits. I talk about my infirmities. If you ever heard Paul talk about anything, it was talking about his persecutions. He says, I take pleasure in my infirmities, my reproaches. You ever hear him say that? My necessities, my afflictions. He said, those are the things that I take delight in. The things that come to me that are bad. Every time you read about Paul's declaring himself to be a prophet of God, it's always telling about his hardships, his infirmities, his persecutions, the deprivations that he suffered, the lack of having things. And in the Bible, when a man had accessible the affluence of his generation, that man still was always required to back off and not use the affluence or the abundance of the physical assets and material assets he had to back off and not use them, even though they were in his reach. God still didn't let him live it up. Look in your Bible and find me one of them. Another thing I want to tell you about a prophet, he's always sent to the church. He's always sent to God's church. There's only one time in the Bible that a prophet was ever sent to anybody else. Read it from cover to cover. That was Jonah. God used a man one time and convicted a whole city with a simple message of yet 40 days, and I'm going to destroy this whole Assyrian capital. 600,000 people. Jonah walked in there a day's journey, began to preach. It went to the king. The message went to the king, and the whole city repented in sackcloth and ashes. And it survived for 175 years before it fell victim to excessive wickedness, and God himself destroyed it. 175 years later, you read in the book of Nahum about the destruction of Nineveh. A prophet can stand between a man of a church, a nation, and God. A saint can pray and make intercession. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can pray your head off. I don't care what you do. You can think what you want to think. I'll get back to this. I haven't lost my continuity, but I want to inject this. I was on a bus one night, traveling about 12, 13 years ago, coming home from a revival out in the West. There was a big-mouthed woman preacher sitting back of me, and she heard me talking to whoever I was sitting by. I don't even remember now where it was, a man or a woman. I was sitting side by side on a bus, but I was talking to them about the Lord. And that woman, that big-mouthed woman, heard me talking, and my God have mercy, pandemonium set loose. I tell you, God, brother, I'm glad to meet you. God has sent me to Jamaica, and he's told me God's going to give me Jamaica when I get there. You know, I've been there several times, a lot of times. God ain't never given me Jamaica. They just had a big old storm down there, and it killed a whole bunch of them. They're still as wicked as they ever were. I tell you, that big mouth junk. God hates it, and I do too. She like never quieted down. That bus was packed. Them folks couldn't sleep. Reckley began to grumble, and I just turned her off like I was asleep. Finally, like a broken record, she finally run down. Oh, Lord. God, send me somewhere, but don't send me like that. But I want to tell you, when God sends you to the place that he designates for you to go with a particular message that's peculiar to a group of people that he targets your message at the time, and everything has to be completely managed by the Holy Ghost. Prophet of God don't run around like a... Ezekiel 13, verse 5 said, O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes in the desert. You see these American preachers going around, their tails are flagging. Another fox going by. What good does it do? If American preachers were worth the salt to go in their bread, America wouldn't be in the condition they're in today. If even 10% of them was any good, it wouldn't be like it is. Oh, yeah, with your mouth, and I'm talking about having power with God. Where you can stand between an individual, a family, a church, a community, a nation, and God, and stave off that judgment they're deserving upon, or to call down something upon them that will save them by repentance, through repentance. Here in America, we've passed the point of return back to integrity and a lot of other things. This is the end time. And I want to tell you, as a prophet of God, God hasn't given up on America and the Holy Remnant that's in that book of life that lives in the confines of this good old USA. I know in general the country's sorry, but it's the church's fault, and it's preacher's fault. It's preacher's fault. We get people all the time giving me the dickens in their letters. Oh, you don't baptize right. Jesus only. I'd rather have what I got than 10,000 Jesus only people in my heart and soul and mind and spirit than here and anything else. They're the most contentious outfits you ever run into. Always want to argue. Divide. God's going to break the stinking devilish old that old critical judicial spirit in them one of these days, and he's going to break it hard in them. Most of them's not even going to be saved. I'm telling you the truth of what I know from God. God hates debates and arguments and divisions. God's going to heal them, ladies and gentlemen. There's not going to be all this mess that you hear so many talk about. God's going to judge this nation with his four sore judgments. Now listen to this. A famine, which is going to bring extended hunger, epidemics of disease, is going to be broad. I mean, going to be widespread over this nation on our livestock, our fowls, and our people. God's going to bring it too. It's going to be right in the church. It's going to be in the church house more than anywhere else, tell you the truth about it. Terrorism. God's going to bring terrorism on this nation. There's going to be more trigger-happy people, terrifying folks. They're going to be panic-stricken. God, have mercy sakes. And then, fourthly, natural disasters such as earthquakes, droughts, heat, devastating freezes, storms, cyclones, earthquakes. God have mercy. The epidemic of AIDS is going to be fatal to multiplied millions of Americans, even church people. That's going to come on because of their rebellion and their arrogance. They won't take it God's way. This whole planet is becoming polluted with these epidemics. It came out just recently. I cut it out of a newspaper.